Well, thank you for the invitation, Dave and Amanda. Like Dave said, we met briefly a few months ago at Sister Lena's house and had a good time of fellowship. And I feel kind of outnumbered. I see a lot of young couples here, but that's exciting. And it's always a blessing for me to see how God moves in different communities and different groups and ages. And I've been telling the young folks at our church, you know, there's some of us are getting older, and I've been speaking to them and saying that God wants to have revival in every generation, and he wants to have a new life springing forth from every group of young folks. And we're beginning to see that happening. God just gave one of the young men a tremendous change in his life. So it's always exciting to see the Holy Spirit working in people's lives. And I really want to encourage you that as you, as a church here, seek to follow the Lord, understand and know that it is so important to be led by the Holy Spirit. Just as a short introduction to my own experience, I grew up in Ohio and South America. About half of my life, I spent Latin America. And so I grew up as a missionary's son and knew a lot of things about a lot of things. But there was one thing that I didn't really know that well, was a personal encounter or a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I grew up in a religious home. I had a wonderful preaching father. And I had learned all the ropes. I had learned all the language. But sad to say that I did not have the power to overcome sin in my life. I experienced true repentance, and still there was something missing in my life. And I began to pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life, and God graciously met me and wonderfully gave me the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it brought tremendous victory and grace in my life. But just like Jesus, in a certain way, I guess you could say, like Jesus, right away, I was led by the Holy Spirit through a time of tempting and testing. And, you know, if you look at Matthew chapter 3, or is it Luke? I'm sorry, it's in Luke, where the Bible says that Jesus was baptized in water. And then as he was baptized in water, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon him. And from there, I don't know about you, but if I would have a precious son like that, I don't think I would lead him straight away into a deep temptation or into a wilderness. But the Bible says that Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. You know, we sometimes hear people say, or might have said it ourselves, that, you know, I was fighting with the devil all day. I really doubt that. Maybe with one of his junior demons, but not with the devil himself. But Jesus, it was different. He was in hand-to-hand combat. Can you imagine? 40 days and 40 nights of temptation and testing. And I can't say, like the Bible says about Jesus, after that time of testing, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't say like Jesus that I was totally victorious in those 40 days and 40 nights. For me, it was a longer period of time and probably not so intense. But the fact is that God wants every one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit. And there's times when the Holy Spirit leads us in a place where we really did not intend to go, but he took us there to test us and to try us. You know, when Moses spoke to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, he said to them that God led them into the wilderness so that he could show them what was in their heart. God knew all along what was there, but they didn't. And I can say that's how it was for me. I didn't realize what all was in my heart in that year and a half of testing, temptation, and trial that God had prepared for me. after I had experienced such a wonderful thing like a renewing of the Holy Spirit or a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit in my life. But it was an important phase of my education. You know, sanctification and spiritual education are the same thing. You cannot educate your mind into having the life of Christ. It takes the Holy Spirit to write these laws and the principles in our hearts. So when I went through this time of testing and trial, God taught me some very, very valuable truths. And I want to speak about some of those truths. One of my favorite psalms, you will find in the book of Psalms 24. The Bible says, this is David speaking, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and all that dwell therein. He has founded it upon the sea, and he has established it upon the floods." And then he asks the question, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?" And then he answers the question, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor has sworn deceitfully." You see three principles here, or three areas that God wants to be his own, or that God wants purified in our lives. Clean hands. I think that the hands represent the visible deeds, the things I do, my behavior, my all of the things that everybody can, you know, you can see my hands as I pick them up and I show them. So that's one area that God wants to be pure. Everything I do with my visible character and body, my members of the body, God wants that to be used for his glory. Clean hands. But the other part, which I believe is the most important part, is the heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. What good does it do to have clean hands if my heart is dirty? What good does it do to have an impeccable outward testimony if the inside of me is not clean? You know, the deeds that we do, everyone can see them, but the motives, I believe what David here, or what the Holy Spirit is speaking about, is the motives. There's a verse in the book of 1 Corinthians that says, in 1 Corinthians 4, 5, it says, "The day is coming." In fact, just turn to that. I want to show you that verse. It's a very important verse, and that brings out this truth that I'm speaking about of the heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. The middle of the verse, it says, "But wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things in darkness, the hidden in darkness, and the disclose the motives of men's hearts." You know, David said here, who has access into the presence of the Lord? They used to have to go to the temple or to the tabernacle, but in our age, our New Testament age, he would be asking, who can have and enjoy the presence and the blessing of the Lord in his life? And he says, clean hands and a pure heart. The Bible says here that there's a day coming when not just what you do, but why. What is the motivation behind what I do? These are some of the things that when I went through my time of wilderness and through some deep failure, God had to burn a lot of dross and a lot of wood, hay, and stubble, and had to cleanse some really deep motives and demolish some strongholds of pride and destroy some human traditions. Loving the praise of men, wanting to be praised by men. All of those motives that were so deeply hidden in my heart. And David says, if you want access into the presence of the Lord, you must have clean hands and a pure heart. You know, God looks at the heart. I think of David and children. Do you remember the story? Do you remember
remember the story when David was anointed to be king? You know what he was doing? There were 7 brothers. If you listen real well, I'll tell you a little story, children. There's a lot of children in him. That's wonderful. But David was a young shepherd boy, maybe a little older than most of you. But he was a young man, and he was very, very faithful in doing what his father had told him to do. And Saul, the king of Israel, had disobeyed God, and God said to Samuel, "Why are you, like we would say in Dutch, blitzing all night for this king that I have rejected? Why are you crying for this king that has been disobedient? I've rejected him." He says, "Up and go anoint another one. I have chosen a man after my own heart." And so God chose David, but there were 7 of his brothers that were older than him, I assume. And Samuel went to David's father's house to anoint a new king for the children of Israel. And the first one comes, the Bible says that when Samuel saw him, that he thought, "Wow, this must be the guy." And I would assume he was probably, you know, some impressive, outward-looking, maybe he had leadership talents and abilities, and maybe he was tall, dark, and handsome. I don't know. Probably belonged to one of Saul's military. I don't know what all, but something about this man that God said, "No, he's not the one." But Samuel thought, like many of us think, "Wow, this is the Lord's, surely," he said, "this is the one that God has chosen to be his anointed king." But God said to Samuel, "Do not look on his stature, his countenance, his outward appearance. Do not look on his hands necessarily." You know what I'm saying? "He that hath clean hands. What you can see about him is not what I see," God said to Samuel. Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so there was 6 of his brothers, one by one. You imagine being in an ordination like that, and God says, "I didn't choose this one either." And finally he said, "Don't you have anyone else left?" Do I need to use a different mic? It's okay. David didn't use somebody else's armor either, did he?
So, one by one, these men came in, and one by one, God said to Samuel, "I didn't choose this one." Can you imagine what kind of pressure and tension must have been at that meeting? "No, not this one. No, not this one. No, not this one." And after the last one was rejected, Samuel said, "Isn't there another one?" And you know, for years I've been preaching and saying, they probably said, "Yeah, we've got the little runt out there taking care of the sheep." And then I read that in the Living Bible, that they actually called him that. This is okay. I'll just use this. Sure. And so he said, "Bring him in." Children, do you know what David was doing? He was taking care of his father's sheep. He was just being a young, faithful boy, doing what his dad told him. He was out there in the middle of wherever, the field. And the Bible says that a bear and a lion came and roared against him. We later have that story when he went out to fight Goliath. And David fought against the bear and the lion. What was it that God was looking for? This was a young man that was not afraid to put his life in danger's way for the sheep. God was looking for someone that was willing to put his life on the line and to be put in a place of danger so that the sheep would be safe. I heard a story by Carter Conlon years ago of one before he was the pastor of Times Square Church, how that he went to an auction and bought a ram, and how this ram was a real bully of a ram. And he said, but the sheep were all safe with him. God was looking for someone that didn't have a selfish agenda, that had a heart. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And even though he failed and sinned so miserably, David was still a man that God was looking for because he was a man after God's own heart. David says, God's looking for that kind of people. Who will ascend in God's place? Who will have the anointing of God on his life? A man with clean hands and a pure heart. And then there's another part of us that God wants to have cleansed, and that is the lips. He said, he that hath not sworn or has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor has he sworn deceitfully. He's an honest person. He speaks the truth. He speaks it out of a heart that has clean motives. Years later, after David had so miserably failed and had sinned and had committed such atrocious crimes, he writes these words, and there was a time in my life when I needed to hear the words of David so deeply. Psalm 51. If you would just turn there, maybe you know it by memory, but I want to read this and what David is saying. David says, after he had sinned and after he acknowledged his sin, in verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David said here, Lord, what you really want is you want clean on the inside. You want me clean on the inside. If there was ever a man in the Old Testament that understood that what God is really looking for is not outward performance and not all the gifts and all the good things, the sacrifices, the worship, the raising of our hands, all of these are good things. But they can all come from a heart that is unclean, that has a motive to want to have the praise of men, to want to have some selfish agenda, or to have a following. David said, Lord, what you really want is a heart that is clean on the inside. This was an Old Testament saint that had not experienced what you and I can experience, the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have the cross to look back to. There was no sacrifice yet made for sin, for the sin that he had committed. They looked forward to it. He knew that it meant he had to repent and had to turn away from his sin, but it could not be washed away like your sin and my sin can be washed away. He could not experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit to have God living on the inside of him in a New Testament, New Covenant way. But David was looking forward to it, and he writes these words, and he says, Lord, what you really want is people that are clean on the inside. For years, I was an outward-looking person. For years, it bothered me what people do on the outside, and there's still some things. Yes, I have my personal preferences, but God has shown me the hypocrisy that sometimes can be covered up when we do not understand that God is looking for a pure heart, a pure motive, and a clean heart. David, after he had so deeply sinned, and after he had failed God so miserably, when the prophet came to him and spoke to him a word of rebuke, David humbled himself. And in that day and age, to rebuke a king was not just an easy little thing. He could have had the prophet's head if he would have wanted to. If he would have been a proud man, he would not have humbled himself and received correction at the hand of this prophet. But when he was confronted with the truth, he humbled himself and he repented. And God raised him back up and used him tremendously. Now my question is, does God still look for that kind of people today? Yes, he does. He looks for men and women with hearts that are clean. with motives that have been purified. He looks for men and women with a heart that is humble. I said, you know, in my first years in our mission in Honduras, how God had to crush some pinnacles of pride, some motives that run clean. And I want to say to you in Jesus' name this morning, my dear brothers and sisters, God is still looking to take us to greater heights of victory, that our hearts are cleansed from wanting the praise of men. There is nothing that is so wicked as spiritual pride. As I reflect back and share how God took me through this school of cleansing, brokenness, trial, I remember for the first few years of my ministry, I spoke so much about getting born again, and my ministry was leading people to Christ. But you know, there's a principle all over the Bible that you find is that we reproduce after our own kind. You cannot lead people to a life of victory if you do not live a life of victory yourself. You cannot lead people to a place that you do not know. And I remember as a very young minister, the Lord spoke so clearly to me after this season of breaking. Like Jacob, another one of my Bible heroes that I find so much truth, when he was taken to that brook Jabbok, a place of breaking. And I remember God speaking to my heart, and he said, I'm calling you to be a spiritual father to many people. And I was ministering in Honduras there at the church, and the Lord spoke that to me very clearly. But I had no idea the testings and the trials and the breakings and the rejections and the things that God was going to use to bring me to that place. And after this time of testing and trial and failure, seeing my deep need before the Lord and having another renewal of the Holy Spirit in my life, God completely changed my message to speaking to people's hearts and to their will. You know, God's looking for a person that surrenders his will. Jesus was the greatest example of a man that ever lived on this earth that surrendered his will when it was so difficult. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, when he was face to face, and I've been praying recently, Father, give me a deeper revelation of the love of Jesus and how much it really cost him to take my place on the cross. And when Jesus was facing death, eternal separation from God, you know, the punishment for sin is separation from God. And I would, you know, as a young boy, we used to sing, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. And so if we say the opposite, where he is not, it must be hell. Separation from God. And Jesus was going to face this separation from God. The Bible says that he sweat drops of blood. There was such an agony in the heart of Jesus. And in agony, he prayed, Lord, if there's another way, if there's some other way to do this, then is there another way? But Jesus said, but Father, not my will, but thine. So in this time of absolute surrender, he dealt with his own will. He said, Lord, not my way, but yours. And I found that when God led me to this place where I had to yield my will, the cost of it was great. But afterwards, the blessing of living a life of abundant life was amazing. And so I want to encourage you, if God brings you to a place of surrender, if God brings you to a place of breaking, if you're going through a time of trial, if testing is where you are today, remember, God wants to make something of your life, and he wants to take you to higher ground and higher places. And again, I say, you cannot lead people to a place of victory if you yourself are still in some bondage of some kind. God wants to give us a freedom that we have still not experienced, and he takes us from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, and he wants to use us. And he wants that which comes from our heart and from our lips to be pure and clean. The motives, I've always said that the heart is like the generator, and it generates what comes out of the mouth. The Bible says in the book, in the one of the Gospels, I believe it is in Matthew chapter 12, he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So back to Psalm 24, David said, clean hands, a pure heart, and lips that speak no guile. Psalm 15 is a chapter that is much the same, that also speaks some of the same words, that God's looking for men of honesty, men and women of honesty and integrity. And again, let me challenge you with the question, what good does it do if everybody thinks that everything is good in my life, that my outward deeds, the way I behave, the places I go, the things that I do, if all of that is good and yet my heart is not clean? God says in Matthew that out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. You know, if someone really treasures something, he will speak about it, because that which we treasure in our hearts is what comes out of our lives. David said, thy word have I treasured in my heart so that it will keep me from sin. So I want to say to you this morning and encourage you that as you live your life before the Lord, remember, God is looking for men and women of pure, honest motives. God is looking for young men and young women with honesty, integrity, boldness, not having the fear of men, not seeking for the praise of men. That was a characteristic of the Pharisees. They loved the praise of men more, the Bible says, than the praise of God. May the Lord help you and I to walk in that way. I just want to pray as I close. Father, thank you this morning for the opportunity to be here, and I pray that you would bless this group of believers as they speak your word, and Father, for the meetings coming up that they have at Lancaster Bible School, or Lord, this event that they're planning, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to those children and those youngsters. Lord, anoint them with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak into the lives of those youngsters, God. May your word go forth. Lord, your word promises in the book of Isaiah, as the rain comes down from heaven and as the snow comes down from heaven, so is my word going to be. It will not return void. It will not return empty, but it will fulfill the task that I have accomplished for it. And I pray, Lord, that as your anointing goes forth, that many young boys and girls will give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would make us men and women of integrity. Search our hearts. Cleanse us, Lord, like David prayed. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way within me. And lead me in your everlasting way. I pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.